So I met many of you. Well, anybody here right now at the January 2nd talk that was I was online? A few of you, yes. It was so wonderful. It was my first time really ever doing it. And I found it magical because I think I found you guys magical. So afterwards, we had a long conversation, which was really intriguing. And one of the things that we talked about was, you know, the internal therapist within. That's really what we were talking about that time. Often we think we have to go outside of ourselves to solve our problems. And one of the things that I was thinking about was there's a bird in the song, an eagle. And one of the things I was thinking about for today's talk is that if we rise above our lives and really look with that view, that high view of an eagle, we tend to be able to not be distracted. Were you distracted looking at that bird flying? You know, you had the vastness of possibility in what you might have even looked at. But then you might have looked at the whole and didn't even try to think about it. And I'm going to suggest that that really is going to be one of the main tools to understand distractions. I went to a lecture a few years ago at a Buddhist temple. And he was talking about concentration, and he was talking about a distracted world. And one of the things that I thought was so intriguing that he said and he ended with was, remember, distraction, if we allow it unabated, we lose our ability to do one thing well. And the thing about understanding distractions and getting some practical applications about it is we need, we have an opportunity to notice that we're living in a distracted world. Getting prepared as a minister for talks, I have learned to be very careful about what I'm choosing as the talk title. And what the original talk title had some more information, and then I distilled it down to the one that's here. It's Practical Applications for Living Well in a Distracted World. Because if I'm not paying attention, I'm probably not going to be living very well. And the second part of it was how to stay curious and attentive in the present moment and take the next step efficiently and delightfully. That's pretty bold, isn't it? Anyways, but first we have to acknowledge that maybe we're living in a distracted world. Now, I'm an extrovert. I have deep introvert needs. And if you're not familiar with those terms, they come from a personality assessment that extroverts tend to get their needs for energy and life through being in community and being in connection with others. And the last 2 years have been profoundly intense personally. I've had to face all sorts of things. Now, the good news about me is I really am very balanced, and I had and still have high internal needs. Introverted needs, which means I like to meditate and I like to pray and I like to study. These are things that nourish me. But in this time of COVID, I really got distracted because I didn't have some of my, and I noticed what I used in my distractions. I don't know about you, but if it was a really interesting week and I needed a little break, I'd drive over to the local theater and go to a movie at 6 o'clock. You know, these were things that nourished me. There was no theaters to go to distract myself. So I had to kind of look at what needs distraction. And so it was a really wonderful level on another level to go deeper with myself. The word distraction, I find interesting that it has the word traction in it. So I'm just going to go back to my notes here for a minute to kind of pull us together to where I'm going with this. So I've come from a tradition of critical inquiry, went to college, went looking in my spiritual practices for the right church for me. And the field that I took myself into originally, the respiratory therapy field, you know, I loved the science of it. And I love that deep inquiry of what's going on in the body. So exploring the critical perspective to how to deal with the body, the world, the mind, it takes time. And it took time to go and figure all that out, figure out what fed me, what was interesting. So in that time, there's complexity of thought that we face. And if we don't have that eagle eye, sometimes we can get really lost. Have you heard people say they go down the rabbit hole? You know, the rabbit hole of research or the rabbit hole of the web, the interweb. Before I know it, when I first bought a computer and provided it for my son, I started to play with it myself. And I was shocked. One time I was 2.5 hours playing solitaire. And I don't even like solitaire that much. But it was all so interesting. And before I knew it, time had passed. And I did it. Now, this is something, though, that is curious because that really didn't go away. There's places, you know, 20, 30 years later where it's still, I have to be really aware and choose that I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole. And why would I go down the rabbit hole? Oftentimes, key things I think are really changing for everybody to explore today and consider. What do you do with boredom? Uncertainty? And what's the third one that I so takes me down all the time? I'm working on it, so I never remember it. But what are your favorites? You know, if you're bored, are you finding like we have these little computers now, our phones, and they could take us anywhere we want to go? That's the good news. But the weird news is how often I'm choosing to look at that. Unconsciously, I'm drawn to it. So going back to this idea of tradition and critical inquiry, I do believe in exploring progressive and critical thought for creative ideas to expand how I'm approaching my life. Any of you have that desire? I think UU is extraordinarily intellectual for scholarship. Every UU minister I've ever met is like significantly unique in that they look at the world deeply. When I first met UU, I was on a committee for the Centers for Spiritual Living, which is the denomination I'm a minister of. And we were at the social justice arm. It really wasn't existing. And there were many of us who, you know, had social justice in our desire for our denomination to keep taking stands and get out there more. Because it's a very intellectual and internal experience in science of mind. Literally the word science of mind. We're studying the mind. But we're also looking for the practical applications of that into the world. So going back to this meeting, one of the ministers came, and she said, "Have you seen this?" So we went and explored the website and found there's this incredible process that UU is all about. The creating statements of principle and statements of value and statements of out in the world. And at the time we were looking at it, there was a document, I think it was 250 pages long, of stands that UU has taken about the world. And it was brilliant. And the methodology of arriving at those was brilliant, to engage the whole denomination and over a 3-year process, come up with things and explore and really engage. This thing of public engagement is totally unique to me. I was so impressed. And we tried to apply this. Now, our denomination may not be as big. I don't know. I never took it that far to look. But so we didn't think 3 years was needed. We were like going faster. And I don't know if that's valid or not, but the world seems to be speeding up a little bit. So in our denomination, where we had no public statements, now we do them, and we'll do them rapidly, like about critical issues in the world. We'll make a stand, whereas that wasn't part of the process. So I really want to have you know that you really helped us in ways you have no idea. But anyways, the other thing that I want to speak to, that effort of scholarship that I feel is here in the room, I see that you're precisely about taking this worldly view of spiritual principles and spiritual practices and faith as a public engagement, teaching independent thinking, exploring now how to argue, how to listen. And that's so interesting, you know, that you can sit with each other and talk for 3 years and then arrive at a statement that is solid and reflective of truth. Now, in Science of Mind, we'll say, and you've heard this everywhere, I'm sure, because many people took it on, change your thinking, change your life. Well, that really came out of Ernest Holmes back in the day. It's like this solid piece that we operate out of. So change your thinking, change your life, when I want to approach distractions, is interesting. So am I really... what's motivating me? So let's go back to distraction. Any of you on a daily basis notice unconsciously choosing, turning the TV on, turning the radio on, doing whatever it is, even taking walks can be a distraction. It depends on the motivation, and it depends on the internal experience that we're looking for and building. So I want to start with the simple idea that distractions have escalated. Now, sometimes, let's take a work environment. There's sanctioned distractions there. You come into your job, then you have tasks you're supposed to accomplish, and you have so many hours to accomplish that. But a lot of times people get bored, indecisive, not sure. And so then they go off and they go start, check my emails. Let's check my emails. And then guess what? There is a lot of good that happens by checking emails. But there's also this fine line that I'm hoping we'll explore here a little bit further. So the fine line is often we don't have to do what we were doing. But before we know it, we've done 2 hours of email. And 2 hours of email, good, bad, but was it necessary? When I was doing research for this topic the last month, I was thinking about, you know, really, how am I approaching my life? It didn't occur to me that there's a whole lot of emails that are an invitation for me to do something that I'm not interested in. But then I have this behind-the-scene ministerial call that I should do something with that. So again, and then I looked at, wow, where are my thoughts contributing to my thing of distraction? Fascinating to me. I was in a lecture last Monday night, and I listened to it. So I found a Buddhist temple to go meditate once a week because I'm not in community meditating. So I wanted to do that. I've been doing that for months when they finally opened. And we meditate, then they do a little lecture, and then we meditate again, and then we talk amongst ourselves. It's an hour and 15 minutes. It's very precious. I noticed, though, when I got ready to do the second meditation and talk, I was agitated. I was distracted. I was wondering what the heck was going on. So then I meditated. I had to take a deep breath in and meditate a little more to figure out what just happened. My stand in the world is also a way to be distracted about how I listen to a lecture. And it hadn't occurred to me so specifically how my stand was getting in the way of me really being available to hear what that person was saying. I was interpreting how they were saying it. And that took me into a distraction that wasn't the eye of the eagle going, looking at things and interpreting and including and seeing what's going on. I was going right to where my beliefs are, and then my beliefs produce my results. And I didn't like how I felt about what just happened. I felt really judgmental. And it was interesting. And I thought I would, you know, because I'm working on this talk for a month, I'm always checking in. So what am I distracted about? What is causing me not to really be present to this conversation and this talk? So are any of you having that with me right now? You know what I mean? It's a mirror, mirror on the wall, I'm sure. So I did further research and I found an interesting technique, and I'd like to encourage us all to do it for a minute. And the technique is you act like you're going to yawn and you do it three times. Now, the idea is that it activates our neuroscience in our body, okay? And it causes our brain and our body to come into a different kind of alignment. And then we're able to be, this was a group practice that I found this in by two neuroscientists. So if you don't mind, just for a minute, let's just all together breathe in three times, but do it as if you're trying to yawn. Now, speaking into this, see if you don't notice a different way of listening. I practiced it all week and I noticed a different way of listening. And are you more aware of your body in the listening? I got to be careful of the microphone, being aware of body. Anyways, the idea being is that we often don't prepare ourselves very well for being with each other and listening. So this level of distraction, I'm trying to pull it to just not items. Items in my world, which, oh my God, do you wake up first thing in the morning thinking about where your phone is? And of course, I know where mine is. I don't have to doubt. And why is that? Why is that? That's become a real lifeline in a lot of ways. But in this idea of exploring our distractions, I'm suggesting that we just have to take a look and perhaps choose, do I really need to look at that right now? Do I really want to? And what's my motivation? No fault, no blame is really important in listening and considering the things I'm talking about, because there's really, it's such a personal and unique thing what we do with our technology. But if we find ourselves having results in our lives that aren't what we want, like I didn't really like how I felt after that talk, I started to take a deep breath in and explore and engage myself in the inquiry. So what am I distracted about? So mostly we think of the external distractions, but I'm talking now on a little deeper level about the internal distractions. So I wanted to just let you know a little bit about me as a minister and why I even bother thinking of that. So in Science of Mind, one of the core teachings, it's for you to understand about us, it's a philosophy, a faith, and a way of life. So I'm looking at my world and my teaching and my experience through the lens of, you know, critical thinking. What is my philosophy about this right now? And if it's not helpful to me, then I need to jump into that eagle and maybe take a different look. What do I or don't I know? Because I'm not comfortable. I got a little feedback there, so I could look at that. And it also integrates spiritual truths, right? A philosophy of faith and a way of life. And UU is so amazing. You know, these seven principles. You know, I might use these principles, which are a little different than the ones I'm going to be looking through the lens of. But am I disturbed or distracted, or am I out of alignment? What's going on? This is such a good anchor. I wrote them down so that you would know I'm looking at them. But so if I was really distracted, like I was the other day, the fourth principle says a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. And so I really want to share in my life with others and understand others. So, you know, this really is something I was looking at through that lens. What is going on? Why am I disturbed? How can I really be present to this situation and this person? Can I really listen free and unencumbered knowing that we all have a right for spiritual liberation, which then goes into your second principle, justice, equity, compassion in human relations. You know, it's like, it's a dance. It's a dance. Now, I can make myself crazy with the dance, which sometimes I do, and that's my form of distraction because I go too deep. And maybe it's just an interaction. Maybe I'm taking it too far. But that, too, is wonderful feedback, isn't it? I had a friend that I was at dinner with on Friday night. Talk about distractions, the whole story. But so my friend Amy, was many years a UU person, forever. And then she became a minister and we're colleagues. And I said, what would you want to tell them? What would you want to talk, if you were talking in front of this group? And then I told her, you know, about distractions and stuff. She said, well, one of the things I think I'd want them to know about is one of our tools. And it's called spiritual mind treatment. And it's a form of affirmative prayer. And it's a way for our minds to go deeper and deeper and deeper and arrive at a place where I maybe know myself better and I know my connection to the universe and the universe of good. And I didn't mean to come here to teach you that necessarily, but I thought it was interesting. You know, what is it? Well, tools. And that's what this talk is about, tools. And this tool particularly is to systematically strengthen our belief. Because remember I said, we change your thinking, change your life. Well, change your thinking is usually connected to my beliefs. And if I don't like my results in my life, I want to look at what's going on. What do I believe? And then this tool helps me systematically go through my beliefs. So if I'm using this treatment form, I'm recognizing the good that is everywhere. And I'm thinking about my experience of that lecture I was at on Monday night. And, you know, there's good everywhere. Every person in this room that I'm in is coming from their heart and their love. So what's going on in me? Well, I guess I feel separate from that good. I feel judgmental. I feel like I know more than maybe something. I don't know, but that was my inquiry. And then I allow myself to really join the ranks of being human. There I am being human. And what am I going to do about it? Now that I've realized something that I'm out of alignment with myself and others, and I'm just going through the five steps of this treatment by saying it out loud. So that now I'm realizing what I really want is connection. I'm an extrovert who needs connection. I don't need to be judging others. I need to be allowing and being with others. And why? Because we are a universe of relationship. And we want to relate clearly and effortlessly and wholly with another. So then I realized the truth that I was feeling separate from my good and my capacity to be good in the world. So by realizing that, you know, I'm very grateful. I'm grateful that I have taken that time to love myself through my discord, my distraction of going somewhere else with this. And now I release it. I let it go. Now I'm not letting it go so much because I'm talking to you about it, but I was letting it go so that then I had more choice. I had more choice to be free and unencumbered in all of my interactions after that. And I could be really sincere again with another and not be filled with my own judgment. So that would be something that Amy thought, you know, because of all the good that you do in the world, do you have, you know, what tools do you have to really re-choose, reconnect? Well, what I see and learned about UU is this beautiful chalice experience, this beautiful community, your commitments. You know, you have a similar path. There's no separation. But I just thought it was interesting that there is a tool. Sometime I could teach it to you, but you're using it actively and dynamically. Maybe you don't know it consciously.
Right.
So affirmative prayer is a powerful process that helps us align our thoughts and feelings so that we're open to that good again that is already present in our life. I just felt separate. You feel separate. Any of us feel separate. in the form of love, harmony, peace, wellness, abundance, and prosperity. The concept of affirmative prayer lies at the heart of what this is all about. And I think it's the heart of our commitment today to re-choose not being so distracted and re-choose what it is that we want in our lives. Do you have any trouble concentrating? So I'm going to tell you a little strange story. I don't want this all to be about me, but I don't know better examples. So the last 5 years, my life has been fascinating. I had a fire, and then, I love that, yo-yo. Anyways, I just got distracted by the children. So I had a fire, then I was displaced for a year, had to figure out what my life was about, not having any of my, anchors. I was in another location and had to figure it out. They remodeled. When I finally could accept what happened, it took about a year and a half after living there that I was able to take a deep breath and recommit and life is good. But the trauma had affected me. And whenever I see fire, I'm still traumatized on one level because I have such profound empathy. So I get to keep looking at what distracts me about something like that. And the floods and the hurricane just took me down on another level because I have such an environmental awareness that most people don't have. And I had to be careful. I have very close friends that live in Florida, and I was right in the path, right in the middle of it. And just, I watched the news and I decided I was going to use it not just as a distraction, but as a place where I could hold the high watch of love and healing and hope and possibility. So if my friends needed anything, I'd be there for them. Anyways, the hurricane was an interesting process, and to keep watching it afterwards, the devastation and what's going on. So I just have to be aware that, as human beings, a lot of us don't realize this, and we judge others for this, what I'm going to say. But in neuroscience, they have discovered and can prove that, as human beings, we observe things like we go to TV, we go to internet to find out, because there's something deep within us that needs to know, hey, how would I approach that? And what kind of tools and solutions do I need to start thinking about that I haven't thought about? And so I know after there was a lot, I study, of course, psychology, spiritual psychology and everything. But when 9/11 happened and after 9/11, it was a profound thing that so many people had to keep watching it, right? Mm-hmm. And but they judged themselves about it. So there's this weird paradox. There's the paradox if you can cross the line and you're doing too much, right? And it started to agitate you and you become scared and you can't move forward and you get overwhelmed. But there's some other pieces to this. And it was because I'm a peacenik, a peace minister, social justice, all about me. I thought there was powerful opportunity for new solutions and other things to occur. And that did not happen. And I had to really watch that. I was like, oh my God, why didn't the best minds come up with some better solutions? Where is the UN? What is going on? And I had to take a deep breath that my solutions are not necessarily, they're not ripe enough, I guess, for the world to choose yet. And I almost got distracted and discouraged. Anybody get distracted and discouraged by what you see? Yeah. And so again, using we are more needed now than ever with our spiritual practices and our spiritual tools, even in the midst of the most discouraging information on a daily basis sometimes. I let myself study at least one day a week the things that I'm interested in. But if I study every day, which is possible, I've got TV, internet, everything you can imagine, I will lose my mind and I will become overwhelmed and crazy. And I've had days like that. I've had family members go, excuse me, where are you? Any of you have any of that? Yeah. But I do want to invite a remembering of why it's important to, what's my motivation with what I'm doing? No fault, no blame, but what's my motivation? And if my motivation is to stay present, so it, as a minister, I've made a decision that I pray for the world. I hold high regard and conscious possibility for the world. So I find it interesting and important for me to go there. But I don't, you know, if you don't, that's okay. It's none of my business. I would love you to come with me and let's take a stand for things that could be different. On Friday night with my friend, we were both going, what in the world? We need to have everybody in the world say, 1, 2, 3, stop war. Stop guns. Stop this. Just what is wrong with that? You know? But again, that's my interpretation. But I turn around and I go, you know, it's somebody has to hold that vision and that high watch. So I'm going to be different. And that's okay. But we have profound scholarship that we should be using to inform things and not get so distracted. So remember when I said the talk had a subtitle or had some sub stuff? It said, how to stay curious and attentive in the present moment and how to take the next step efficiently and delightfully. So I always probably, you probably heard me say this January 2nd, believe three things can really help us all the time. And they're the concepts of curiosity, creativity, and willingness. And when I'm distracted, if it's affecting me in any way, I get curious, right? Let's get curious. And then find out through breathing, through meditation, through spiritual practice, whatever tools I'm going to use. Get curious. That's using my creativity. Okay, I may not have a solution yet, but at least I'm facing it. I'm not avoiding it with my distractions. I'm sitting with it. I'm learning how to be with it. I may not always get what I want because I might want something, as I mentioned, different than the world. But I'm not going to back down from that anymore. After 9/11, I stopped backing down. It's imperative that some of us keep the high watch of whatever it is you're being high watched to. But for me, it's about a world that works for everybody, not just some. And often that can be a trigger for me to get lonely, uncertain, and bored because I don't know what to do. So, important to know our triggers, important to know what distracts us, important to ask what is going on here, and find the good. Keep trying to find the good. And again, I can't tell you, I think it's so perfect that you chose that song. I think you were part of that, Donna, with the bird. Oh my gosh. With the view and the high sight, there's possibilities, there's freedom, there's liberation. And just holding that to me is the biggest important thing. And when I lose my focus, I try to take a deep breath. Now I'm going to use yawns and see what I can pay attention to that won't distract me so much. I didn't check the time and I don't see a clock clearly. Am I doing okay on time? Okay, thank you. So I apologize. The camera's right. And I didn't realize I wasn't looking. Yeah, so anyways, thank you. Just in coming into some circle of awareness, coming back to where we have choice. So in the word distractions is the word traction. And I believe that we can get traction to get back into our lives. And we each have our own possible way. And I just want to give you like really quick, 5 ways to think of it. The first one is plan your calendar. Are you really, if you're not planning your life is planning you. So that's why I meant about the emails and everything else. It's really important to plan. Plan for what's going to bring you your gift, your talent, your love, your peace, your power, your liberation. Look at it. Is it once a day? Is it twice a day? Is it every day? And if you need to, put it in your calendar. Otherwise, your calendar has you. And then set time for social media and email. You know, now I do it. I don't look at it the first thing in the morning. I don't know if that's good for you or not, but practice. Start with 5 minutes. Start with an hour. You know, whatever works for you. Take a whole day. You know, I do whole days where I don't do any technology just to allow myself, who am I without all the external reference? Who am I? And then understand what's going on in your body. What is causing you to look outside of yourself? Notice the sensations. Are you nervous? Are you bored? Are you hungry? You know that halt that is in the 12-step program? Are you hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? I think anger is also intense. Is something intense going on? Check in real quick. Am I using distractions to not take care of myself in the highest and best way? And as you knew, I was a respiratory therapist, and I helped thousands of people quit smoking. And I have my own methodology that really works. But in the meantime, it was really simple. And it's three breaths. And I'd like to have you do another different type of three breaths real quickly. Put your hand on your heart. And now you're going to consciously be aware and breathe into your hand. Feel the expansion. Hold it, and then exhale. And do that three times. Breathe in. Breathe into your hand. And exhale. And then this time, exhale through pursed lips. Most of us don't exhale long enough. So we really don't have air to get in. And whenever you extend a hand to your heart's getting a hug. And this is a good thing, because really often distractions are mind-driven, and to get back into our body and our heart is everything. Let your heart inform what is next. Let your heart inform how to plan your calendar. Let your heart inform, what am I doing with social media? And so important, this action reminds you that you're not powerless. You're three breaths away of being totally connected to all your good, all your joy, all the possibilities of peace on earth in our lifetime. So thank you. Thank you for letting me come back.